I'd like to invite you this morning to turn with me to the book of Romans. And I want to turn to the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 13. Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." I suppose that we all have known Christians who go through their life looking like they were weaned on a pickle. Such people, unfortunately, are useless when things go rough for them. But we've also known Christians who are just the opposite. We've known Christians who are joyful, Christians who are steadfast, Christians who are always doing good, even though they themselves are experiencing many kinds of hardship. But what's the difference? Why? Why is there such a difference? Well, I believe that the joyful, steadfast Christian has found the secret that's expressed in the Scriptures. One place that this secret is found is Romans 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. As we consider this verse, we're going to look at the key to a joyful and a productive life. In this context, there are several observations that we can make. And the first one is this, that the joyful life is based on hope. The joyful life is based on hope. You know, many have the wrong concept concerning joy. They think that joy is a matter of personal temperament or the product of one's heredity. Or others think that joy is a matter of circumstance. That is, the product of one's environment. But how can that be when being joyful is commanded of us all? Notice, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Philippians, or 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, rejoice always. Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Looking on down in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us that true joy is able to rise above the circumstances of life. It's seen in the example of the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. The text says, "For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Also, in the example of Christians in Asia Minor, which Peter spoke of in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. This is because the key to joy is hope. Notice in our text, rejoicing in hope. It should be easy to see how hope is a source of joy in our lives. A student in hope of enjoying summer vacation is happy when he thinks about it. Likewise, the strong hope of the Hebrews that gave them joy despite the seizure of their property. Sure, they had come in and taken forcefully the things that were theirs, but they took it joyfully. They still rejoiced, knowing that they had a better and an enduring possession in heaven. Again, the source of the Christian's joy in Asia Minor. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Note, Peter says they are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Notice the connection. In this you greatly rejoice. What? That you are kept by the power of God for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. To be joyful in life, we must have hope. Christians are not joyful, who are not joyful, are not truly full of hope. And that is only because their minds have become so preoccupied with the things of this life that it pushes out the thoughts of hope. They are, unfortunately, many just religious enough to be miserable. They know what God requires of them. They know what they should be doing, but they don't do it. And they're miserable, just plain miserable. If they spent more time contemplating the hope that we have as Christians, joy would automatically follow. But we all understand that hope is based upon faith. In Hebrews 11, the first verse, Paul tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, where does this faith come from? Well, we understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But if people don't read the Word of God, their faith is weak. Their faith is weak. Thus, their hope, at best, is shallow. Shallow. And what about their joy? It's just minimal. Just minimal. But if we let God's Word produce the faith that is necessary to have a strong hope, then we can have that joy which will help us no matter what the circumstances are. Joy is not a product of circumstance. And this leads us back to our text, where we want to make another observation. A life of joyful hope will be patient in tribulation. Now, maybe we better define our terms here just a little bit. We're talking about patient. It means more than simply enduring or forbearing. It takes in the thought of activity despite hardship. It is continuing to do good regardless of the trials. Not just sitting there and refraining from doing something bad. Some people seem to think that's all there is to it, to be patient. No, that's not. And the word tribulations could refer to trials suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. Sometimes they're severe. Sometimes they're just minor inconveniences. But they are something that we have to endure. We must be patient in tribulation. Sometimes the things that are common to all are trials to us or tribulations. Sickness, death, various financial reversals. Those things have to be endured in order for us to have the true joy that Paul is talking about. So, what Paul is talking about is pressing on, doing good, despite hardship. You say, well, much easier said than done. Yeah, it is. I admit it. It is. But it is what is required of us. Press on doing good despite hardships. But you know, the key to such patience is joyful hope. This can be illustrated in several different ways, and I want to take the time to do this with you. The athlete. Why does an athlete endure the hardships of training? We look at football players that have these training thing activities they go through, and we think, man, why would anybody put themselves through that? Why would they let people do that to them? Well, they have a goal in mind. And what is the goal? Well, the joyful hope of attaining victory. That's what the athlete is working for. Think about the pilgrims that came to this land. Why did they endure the hardships of sailing across the ocean? You know, there were many lives lost in the process of crossing the ocean. Sometimes the whole ship never heard from again. Why did they endure the hardships of crossing the ocean? Well, the answer is obvious. They were looking for the joyful hope of finding freedom from religious oppression. That's what they did it for. A little closer to home, college student. I lived with one of these, so I know what it's all about. The college student. They endure hardships of study and examinations. Oh, over and over and over again. Why do they do it? Well, they will have the joyful hope of a successful career at the end of the tunnel. At the end of the tunnel. But think back on the early Christians. Why did they endure persecutions? Pressing on in their faithfulness to Jesus Christ in spite of the threat of death, the loss of property. Why? Well, we read it right here. It's the joyful hope of their inheritance in heaven. Knowing, in Hebrews chapter 10, 34, knowing you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Doesn't this explain why some Christians fail to remain steadfast when things get rough? They don't have the joyful hope that's necessary to sustain them. Why not? Here it is again. Their minds are so preoccupied with worldly things. Worldly things block that joyful hope that they should have. But one last observation I would like to make based on our text. That is, our lives will be as hopeful, joyful, and patient as they are prayerful. Think about this. What does our text say? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. This is essential. The relationship between prayer and the joyful life is not limited to this section of Scripture. There are other places where it talks about this same thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, notice, rejoice always. Well, we read that a little bit ago, didn't we? But look at the next verse. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, if we pray without ceasing, we can rejoice always. For in proper prayer, we are constantly reminded of our hope. That is the source of joy and the source of patience. In prayer, we should be made constantly aware of the reason for our hope. And what is the reason for our hope? The forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. In prayer, we should be constantly aware of the object of our hope. And what is it? Well, the object is to be with one day with God eternally. Walk on those streets of gold in the home of the righteous. But you say, hold it just a minute, preacher boy. To pray without ceasing? Is that possible? Is that possible to pray without ceasing? Well, if it meant that we were to express formal words of supplication and petition, that might be a little bit difficult. But prayer does not always have to be with formal words. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that for sure? Well, in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 20, we read here about the people of God, and it says that they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all who were there with them. Why? For they cried out to God in battle, and He heeded their prayer. It doesn't say that they all bowed down on their knees, and no, that's not what it says. But they cried out to God in battle, and he heeded their prayer because they put their trust in him. But that's not all. Prayer is not only expressed verbally. Prayer can be something that is a mental attitude of devotion, unspoken reverence or reference to God in all things that we do. Unspoken reference to God in everything we do. Whenever we're working, we can sit and think about God and express things to God in our mind that nobody around us knows about. Whenever we are driving in the car, don't text. Be sure you don't. But you know what? You can communicate with God. You can pray. And some of us ought to, the way we drive. But really, we can pray anytime. Anytime. And we don't have to pray with somebody or by ourselves alone. We can pray anytime, either by ourselves or with someone else in a congregation like this, which we just prayed together today. We can pray all the time. Now, question, and this is the question of the day. Are our lives as joyful and as productive as they should be? You believe that you are truly joyful before God? You need to let God's word sink into your heart, continuing steadfastly in prayer. When we do this, what will happen? Now, you know what it is. You'll rejoice in hope, and you'll be patient in tribulations. That is the result. As we enter into this new year on the calendar, I want us to think about these things. We need to be joyful before God. We need to let other people know that we are joyful. We need to study His Word. And I highly recommend your daily Bible reading to you. It's brand spanking new, and thanks to Susan, I fixed it. I messed up January. I don't know how I did this, but she brought it to my attention, and I fixed it. The list is okay that you get, Dave, but the actual calendar was really a mess. I don't know how I got that way, but it's fixed now. So, give attention to that. Make it a part of your day every day. And if something happens, you get sick and you miss a day or something, figure out a way to make it up. Redouble the next day or whatever it takes. But follow your Bible reading. Follow your Bible reading. It's different. It's really different this year. But so far, I've been pretty impressed with it. I enjoy it. It takes you all around. And it's really interesting. Be regular in your attendance. Don't let things stand between you and worshiping God. Be diligent in trying to teach the word to others. Bringing souls to Christ is our goal. That's what we're all about.